this time Bogdan is going to deal with sort of the basics of NS and how it works and what it is. Next time he'll talk to you about, well, assignment-related issues and also sort of just the whole installation process for NS. So thanks, Bogdan.
Hi, everybody. I am going to present you a brief introduction to NS. Basically, this presentation will have mostly three parts. The first part will consist of an introduction to the design principles of NS. Then I will show you a simple example, so you will be able to see how you actually use NS. And at the end, based on the example that I will present you, I will show you a few diagrams that introduce you to the insides of NS, so you can see what's happening actually in the simulator once you start running your simulation script. So NS, it's a discrete event simulator which is focused on network research, and it allows you to simulate various network topologies, including all the protocol stack. It's an open source software which you can download and use freely, and also the most important thing, you can modify it. Maybe you already know what's a discrete event simulator. NS actually allows you to simulate a network where some events occur at certain points of moments in time, and each event changes something in the state of the simulator and maybe triggers other events. There is a lot of protocols, network protocols, already implemented in the basic distribution of NS, including all the usual internet protocol stack, TCP, IP, and all the application layers like protocols like FTP and HTTP and so on. But you can also add or develop in NS your own protocols and further test them and evaluate their performance. Apart from the basic distribution, which includes all these, there are plenty other patches or modules or other distributions actually which provide you with additional functionality. For example, the basic NS distribution has the wireless LAN, the Wi-Fi protocols implemented, but it doesn't provide you with more wide area networks like WiMAX or cellular networks, including UMTS or GSM-based GPRS networks. But you can find these modules separately, and you can add them into NS, or you have a distribution that provides you with all these and allows you to use them in a single simulation. Coming back to the implementation of NS, it's object-oriented, written in C++, and it uses OPCL interpreter, which allows you to write TCL scripts. There is C++ class hierarchy, which is also called the compile hierarchy, and also the OPCL class hierarchy, which is the interpreted one. Well, probably you will ask, why do we have this kind of implementation? Well, the main reason is that when you simulate a certain topology, first you have the basic, well, or the core of the network, which is the implementation of the protocols you have and all the modules and the components. But you also have a lot of parameters that you want to change during your simulation or between simulations. So, having the network, the entire network simulator implemented in C++ will give you a better, well, actually a faster runtime, a higher runtime speed, but the turnaround time is longer. The turnaround time means the time you need to change something and run the simulation again, which in between involves rebuilding, recompiling the whole simulator. So for parameters that are varying in time and you want to change them from one simulation to another, having everything implemented in C++, it's not very good, because this build time or compiling time may be longer. And you will see, if you start to use NS, probably from the beginning when you install NS, you'll see that building the NS takes quite a bit of time. So that's why we also have this TCL implementation, which is an interpreted language, and this allows you to quickly change parameters and rerun the implementation. You will see later in more detail what's the story with this TCL and C++ combination, but for now you should know that everything that relates to algorithm implementation, packet processing, or bit level processing, it's implemented in C++, which gives you a better runtime speed, but of course with this disadvantage of longer turnaround time. While in TCL, you implement everything that's related with parameters that might change or configuration that might change, which allows you for a quick change in these parameters, but it's slower, being an interpreted language, but of course with the benefit of a shortened turnaround time. I don't know if you learned C++ and Java, but you can make a little bit of relation between these two, Java being the same, an interpreted actually language that you run on a virtual machine. This TCL is a little bit the same, so the speed, the running speed of this is going to be slower than the compiled language, which is C++. So that's pretty much it about the design principle of NS. Let's see a simulation process. So when you want to simulate a certain network topology, and when I say network topology, I understand the connection, the nodes and the connection links between them, but also the protocol stack, you first build your simulation script. The simulation script is built in, it uses TCL, the interpreted language, and it's fed as an input to the simulator. As you can see here, the simulator has two parts. Is the main part, which is the implemented in C++, and it's the actual simulator, but there is also this TCL interpreter, which is able to interpret your TCL script, your input script, and performs the necessary operations in the simulator, actually in the C++ implementation. What happens in the simulator, based on the or your topology, the events are generated, they are stored in a queue. Every event has a timestamp, and the simulator will perform this event at a certain time intervals, and actually the event will produce an output or will change something in the simulation, and you will see at the end the results of what happened inside the simulation. After the simulation is done, the NS simulator is going to produce you two files. One is a trace file, the other one is a NAM file. NAM comes from Network Animator. The NAM file is used by the Network Animator, which is a separate component of the whole simulator, and this animator actually presents you the simulation in a visual form. So it's an animation that shows you what happens actually in the topology that you created and the simulation model that you created. The trace file both of them actually are text file, so you can see actually what's inside. You will see an example later. The trace file can be processed with any text processing tool that you have. I, for example, use Oak, and I'll show you next time how to use this tool, which allows you to go through the whole trace file and see what packets were sent to whom and who received what and so on. And then based on this, you can produce graphical representation of your throughput or various QoS-related parameters like throughput or delay or jitter or packet loss and so on. Apart from Oak, for example, I use XGraph, which I'll show you next time. You can use to produce this kind of graphics. The animator usually is more for visual representation of your simulation, but you can also perform some filtering of packets and so on to get a better understanding of what happens during your simulation. But from my opinion and what usually I use and I saw other people using, actually this trace file, it's the most important part, because from this you will get your useful information like throughputs or delays or loss and so on. Okay, so this was the first part with an introduction to the basic idea of NS. Now let's have a look at an example. So the first thing, as I said, is to build your TCL file, which represents actually the simulation that you are going to perform. So as you can see here, the first step is to create a variable which is going to represent an object of the simulator actually. So this NS variable you are going to use throughout your script to access the simulator itself. So imagine that this is actually the simulator. Then the second two lines here actually for set the trace files. In the first line, you open a file which is called out.tr, and it's going to be linked to the variable f, and this is going to be the file where you trace all the events that happen. It's actually the trace file that we've seen before, this one. This trace file that goes to the graphical representation, well, analysis of the simulation. And then you instruct NS to trace all the events, everything that happens in this file. So from now on, when you run the simulation, NS, the simulator, is going to store in this file all the events that happened during the simulation. Of course, you will see later in, if you look at more complex scripts, you will see that you are able to set actually the level of tracing. For example, you can say to NS that trace only what happens at the router level, or trace only what happens at the medium access control protocol level, or only at the application level, or so on. But in general, the idea is that you will if you set this, well, you have to set this file, and you'll have all the things in there. The last part is actually the file that will provide the input for the network animator. You don't have to deal too much with this, because the network animator is going to do the job for you. So this is the first thing that you need to do in a simulation. The next thing is to create your topology. So let's assume that we want to simulate communication between, let's say, node 0 and node 3 in such a topology. You have node 2 as a sort of a central router, and this guy connects node 3 with node 2, node 1 and node 0. You can see here you have the wired links between the nodes. This gives you the bandwidth of the link, which in this case it's 5 megabytes, and the delay experienced by the packets going over this link. You see that this link here is only 1.5 megabytes and a 10 milliseconds delay. So if you imagine that node 3 is a server and node 0, for example, it's a client, you see that this link is sort of a bottleneck in this network. But that's just for you, just an idea to see how it works. So to create this topology, first you need to create the nodes. So you will have 4 variables. Each variable will store a node, and here you instruct NS to create the node for you. So the simulator is going to create the node. Actually, all the objects inside the simulator will be created, and they will be you will be able to access them through the variables that you have here. After you created the nodes, the next step is to create the links between the nodes. So you can see here you instruct NS to create a duplex link, so a link that allows you to communicate in both directions between node 0 and node 2. This link is supposed to have a 5 megabytes bandwidth or throughput and a 2 milliseconds delay. This drop tail here, actually, it's the queue that is going to be used, and there are various type of queues that you can use, but that's more advanced aspect of finance. Maybe you will deal with it later, but in general you can use this drop tail queue. So you can see the 3 links between node 0, node 2, node 1, node 2, and node 2 to node 3. So these are the commands in TCL that creates the 4 nodes actually, and the 3 links between them, and sets the parameters. And this is probably a good moment to observe why do we need this TCL. Imagine that you perform the simulation and you realize that, well, you don't want 1.5 megabytes here, you want 2 megabytes here. It's very simple. In TCL, you can change this parameter and rerun the simulation. While if you would have the whole simulator implemented in C++, you would have to change the C code and then rebuild the application and then rerun the simulation. And this is going, well, this would be very time consuming. Even using this TCL, it's sometimes time consuming, because if you simulate big topologies with many nodes and with high throughputs and actually a lot of data communication between them, even this is going to take a lot of time. So using TCL, it's going to improve a little bit the way you simulate. Okay. So we have the nodes, we have the links between them. Let's see some data moving around. First, you need to have your transport agents. So in NS, what you deal with in terms of transport are agents. So you have here, you create a TCP agent. This actually implements the TCP protocol. Actually, the way you specify here is actually the whole class hierarchy. Actually, this TCP inherits the agent class and implements the TCP protocol. You will have UDP, for example, or you can have HTTP or DCCP or I don't know any other transport protocol. Once you create this agent, all the objects necessary are inside, and you instruct NS to attach this agent to the node. and you will see a little bit later what happens inside. So now node 1 is going to have a TCP agent attached to it. Next step is to create, well, this is a TCP sync. It's actually the corresponding agent of the first one. This agent is going to communicate with the TCP sync, which is attached to node 3. So if we go back here, node 1 is going to have a TCP agent, and node 3 is going to have the TCP sync, which is also a TCP agent. And the last step is to connect them. So you instruct NS to connect the two agents. So now actually the TCP connection is established between the two agents. So once you have the agents, you have them attached to the nodes, and you have them connected to each other, you can create the application layer. So the application layer, let's assume that we want to have a FTP file transfer. So we create the application, the FTP application. Here in the same way, there is this class hierarchy, so you can see that the FTP application actually inherits the more general application class. And then once you create it, you attach to this application the TCP agent. So you see it's a little bit different than before, where here you instruct NS to attach the TCP to the node, while in here you instruct the FTP, the application, actually to attach to the TCP agent. So once you have them attached, at a certain time you can instruct the FTP application to start sending. So at this moment, this is the 1.2 seconds from the start of the simulation. Your FTP application is going to start sending data. Of course, there is no file that's actually transferred over the network, but only the packets that would be normally sent in a real application. So you will see them, but the payload is actually not going to, the data inside is not useful in any way, just to see how the network reacts and what's happening in the network. And as an example here, at 1.35 seconds, you can instruct NS to detach the agent from the node. Unfortunately, there is a mistake here. This should be node 1, because we attach the TCP to node 1. Okay, so once you perform all this, you end up with this. So you have the nodes, you have the links between them, you have the TCP agent connected to the node, and you have the FTP connected to the TCP. So now the FTP application can communicate using the TCP protocol and over the network to its corresponding application on the other side. So you can see here the protocol stack. The transport layer is implemented here, the application layer here, and all the rest of the protocol stack is implemented at the node level and then at the link level. So having this script built, you can feed it to the simulator, and this is what's going to happen. A few examples here. After you run the simulation, this is how the network animator file, input file, looks like. So as I said, you're not going to deal with it, just for as an example. You can see here that the simulator actually through this file instructs the animator to create a node with the shape of a circle, and it's going to be black, and you can see here the links with the bitrate and the delay and the color and so on. So actually you can create topologies that are more suggestive to you, and you can change the color so you know which is which and what's the relationship between them. And then you can see here that the packet starts to flow in the network. But that's only for the network animator. You don't need to deal with this. What you need to deal with, well, actually that's how the network animator looks like. It's your topology, node 0, 1, 2, and 3. And what you can do here, you can play, you can start the animation, and this is going to show you the big arrows here are actually the normal TCP packets that flow from the FTP and TCP agent here towards the other one on connected to the node 3. And you can see the small packets here, which represent the acknowledge packets, the normal TCP acknowledge packets. Actually, the size of these packets here are in close relation to their actual size in bytes. So you can see that the acknowledges are much shorter. What else you have here? You can increase the speed of simulation, actually animation, because what you need to know actually is that when you animate and you see this is not actually simulation performed in real time with the animation. So actually the process is you simulate, the simulation does what it has to do inside and produces this file, and then you can animate it. So don't make this mistake by imagining that now actually when you see the animation, the simulation takes place. The simulation takes place before, and you just visualize the output of the simulation here. So you can actually increase the playback time basically here. So everything moves faster here. You have the time scale here, so you can see what packet was sent and at what time. And of course you can zoom in, zoom out, and you'll see this next time, or you can edit and change the position of the nodes. Unfortunately, this network animator is not, in terms of position of nodes, I had trouble with. There is no good correlation between the position you set in the TCL file and the position that the node gets in the NAMM file. So if you end up simulating wireless networks where the nodes are moving and the position counts, because if the position changes, then you may run out of the coverage area of a wireless network, then don't rely too much on the animator, because the position is not the same as the one you set in the TCL file. But as I said, you can use the edit. Here there is a button you'll see better next time. This allows you to change the position, and you can manually reorganize the topology to correspond to your actual needs. But what you actually will use is the trace file. So this is how a trace file looks like. Well, the dots here, actually I had to remove some parts with plus and minus like this, because they are not really important to you, and I didn't have enough space to show the whole trace file. But when you simulate, you'll be able to see a real trace file. Just to explain to you, for example, here you can see a few packets received by different nodes. So R in here means that a packet was received. You can have S, which means sent, or you can have D, which means drop. Yeah, you can look in the documentation and you'll see a more detailed description of this kind of file. There are two formats of trace files. This is the old one and there is a newer one. Well, for this example, I use the old one, but in documentation you have the way you interpret this. So, but briefly to give you an idea what happened here, we started already the FTP application. So the first thing you see that a packet was received at 1.2 seconds, this is the time, and the packet was received by node 2 and was sent by node 0. Yeah, the packet type was TCP, the size was 40 bytes, and the packet is originated at the node with address 0 and port 1, and the destination is node with address 3 and port 1. And of course here you have some sequence number and so on. So if we look at the topology, we have actually a packet from 0, source is 0 and the destination is 3. It has to go to node 2 and then to node 3. Okay, but this is the routing. The routing agents are going to do this for you. So you can see that the packet traveled from 0 to 2 and later it traveled from 2 to 3, 3 being the destination. This is unchanged because this is actually routing information. This is it's the source and the destination. And here you see actually the nodes involved in the actual communication. Node 0 send the packet to node 2, which was received at this time. As you can see, there are 40 bytes packets here. This is actually the connection establishment first, the TCP connection. You see the two packets here and then the acknowledges. Well, it's one packet which travels from one hop to another. And after the connection is established, you see the real TCP packets with a much higher payload, actually size than the other ones. And you can see they travel in the same manner. You see 0.0 to 2, node 2 to node 3, and then that knowledge goes back from node 3 to node 2 and from node 2 to node 0. So based on this, you can analyze. You can use, as I said, any text processing tool. Maybe if you use Linux, you can use the grep function and you can extract all the lines with packets received, for example, at node 3, because you want to see the throughput received by node 3. So you look at all the packets received with 3 in this place. The packet has to be TCP, and then you take the size of these packets. Okay, and based on the time of the arrival of the packet, you can set time intervals, and on this time interval you can add the size of all the packets received and divide this by the time interval, and you get the throughput received by the node in that period of time. So that's basically what you can do with these trace files. Now let's have a look at what's happening inside the simulator. So what you've seen before is actually the TCL file that you have to create, and let's see now what's happening inside. This is a diagram representing a simple wired node. This is a unicast node. So this node, actually each node can act as a router as well. So in this case, this kind of node can act as a router, but only for unicast communication. If you look in the documentation, you'll see the multicast node. It's a little bit more complex than this one, but for your understanding, it's better to have a simple a more simple diagram first, and I'll explain you what happens in the other one. So you have a node entry point. So in here, on this point, you get all the packets that are supposed to arrive at this node, including, and you'll see later, including the packets from the agent. So if an agent wants to send something, it brings the packet to this entry point. The packet will have a source, address, port, and a destination address, and forth. This packet goes in. The address classifier first looks at the destination address. If the destination address is the one of this node, then the packet goes to the port classifier. If not, the packet is sent on the corresponding link towards its destination. So actually, this address classifier more or less does the routing in this wired configuration. And you'll see a more detailed example later. As I said, if the destination address is the one of this node, the packet goes to the port classifier, and the port classifier looks at the port. The port number will give you the agent to which the packet should go. Every agent attached to this node will have a different port, and this port is going to identify the agent. It's like, even if you programmed any socket, probably in C or C++, you've seen the same story with the IP address and the port. The port identifies the application, and the address, the host computer or host machine, and is the same here. The IP address is dealt with here, and the port is dealt with here. Okay, so let's see now. Let's correlate the TCL script with what's happening in the simulator. So when you create the node, yeah, this is one of the commands that we had in the TCL script. This creates one node. When the node is created, this is what appears in the simulator. It's the node object with the address classifier and the port classifier. For simplicity, we were going to see at two nodes and a link between them. So when you issue the next command, TCL command, the next node is going to be created. So this is your nodes in the graphical representation, but inside this is what's going to appear, the two objects representing the nodes. Now the next step is to build the link between them. So when you issue the command, you instruct actually the NS to link the two nodes. Being a duplex link, inside the link is represented by two unidirectional link. One is from node 0 to node 1, and the other one is from node 1 to node 0. So you can see that one link connects the address classifier to the input, the entry point of the next node, and the other link connects the address classifier of the other node with the entry point of the first node, at the node 0. So that's how two nodes connected with a wired link look like in NS. Okay, so let's see what's happening when we have our agent and application. When you create the agent, the corresponding object is created. And when you link the object with the with the node. Then the port classifier is connected with the agent, and now the port classifier knows that port 0 in this case is going to be attributed to the to this agent. Of course, if you have another agent, there will be a port 1 connected to that one. The third agent will get the port 2 and so on. And also, the agent is connected to the entry point of the node. Okay. Then, the next step, you created the application. The application object is created and connected to the agent. Here is basically a duplex link, because the application is able to send data to the agent, and but also the agent sends data to the application. In NS, you cannot have more than one agent connected to an application. So an application can only use one transport agent to send something. It's not complicated to modify it, but the basic distribution only allows one such a relationship between the agent and the application. So let's assume that the FTP application is started and it starts to send data to the agent, the TCP agent. The TCP agent encapsulates the data in a TCP packet with a, well, the connection is already established, so this TCP agent knows that he is supposed to communicate with the other agent on node 1. So it produces the packet with the destination address 1 and the port 0, which is the corresponding port of the application in here, which is not actually, it's not present on the diagram here, but it's supposed to be here. And this packet is provided at the entry point of the node. The node, actually the address classifier, looks at the packet and it sees that the destination address is 1. So he knows that for this, the routing actually knows that the packet has to be sent on this link. Well, this is a simple example, but the one before with two more nodes in here will have a more complex address classifier here, which has to know on which link to send the packets to which address, to which node. Okay, so the address classifier sends the packet in here, which arrives at the entry point of this node 1. This node is going to look at the destination, will figure out that the destination is actually himself. So he brings the packet to the port classifier. The port classifier looks at the port, it's port 0, he knows that this is the agent that's supposed to get the packet. So the packet arrives at this TCP sync. Well, normally there should be an FTP application and the TCP sync should forward the packet up to the application. So that was the packet. Now let's see the acknowledge, because the TCP actually requires the packets to be acknowledged. So in this case, the TCP sync generates the acknowledge, and acknowledge is addressed to node 0. So the destination address is 0, and the port, of course, is 0, because this is the only, this is the agent to which the packet is addressed. The packet is actually fed to the entry point of the node. The node checks the address in a similar way, and it sends the packet on the corresponding link, which gets to the entry point of node 0. Node 0 realizes that the packet is for him, and he sends the packet to the port classifier. The port classifier identifies the TCP, well, actually the agent, and it delivers the acknowledge to the the TCP agent. So of course this TCP agent is happy that he got the knowledge for the packet he sent before, so everything it's done. Of course, then this process starts again, the next packet is sent and it's acknowledged maybe and so on. So that's pretty much it with the way NS works, and you can use it. If you have any questions, please, about what we discussed, please ask. So right now you don't need to know actually all the details of the implementation of NS. When you start to simulate more, or you become a more advanced user and you have to change the NS implementation, then it's good for you to know all these things, because you will have to change them in order to implement your own protocols and so on. But for example, for a simple protocol, if you want to implement, for example, a new transfer protocol, you only need to implement the corresponding agent. Everything else stays the same.
Yeah, sorry, can you just ask you what would be the best service to use to analyze the trace file?
For the trace file, I use Oak. Oak actually, it's AWK. So this allows you to, you also need to build a script, and this script actually is interpreted by Oak, and actually Oak takes line by line takes the file line by line and splits the each line based on the spaces. So in Oak what you get, for example, you can have this actually, $1 represents the first component of the line. $2 would be here the time, the second component. So personally I like this because it automatically takes it line by line and splits the whole line into module and into parts, and you can access each part like this, and then you can use all the ifs and whiles and fors and whatever you want to use. And then you can write the results in a file which can be used by XGraph to represent the graphical for throughput or delay or loss or whatever you want to analyze. I'll show you next time how to use this tool. So if there are no more questions from my point of view, that's all for today.
Thank you.